Pilgrim. Talk about what that meant when you went from negotiator to activist. The many miles you spent walking to educate people about climate change.
So we've embarked on these special journeys, some of them in conjunction with the UNFCCC, Conference of the Parties, Climate Summits as we call it. In 2015 from Rome to Paris, and in 2018 from Italy to Poland, over six countries. These journeys pay homage to people and communities affected by the climate crisis, and part of the intention is to be able to have conversations in every town that we pass through, and carrying the stories from the most vulnerable communities in especially in my country.
That's Yeb Sanyo, Executive Director of Greenpeace Southeast Asia. I spoke to him Friday at the UN Climate Summit in Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt. And that concludes our broadcast from Egypt for the last 2 weeks.
Special thanks to the whole AP crew here in Cairo. Rania Khidr, Julian Jones, Ahmad Al-Naqib, Ahmad Hikmat, Ahmad Ali, and Alice Loka.
And special thanks to our Democracy Now! Team here in Cairo. Sharif Abdelkaddous, Nermin Sheikh, Hani Massoud, and Dennis Moynihan. And in New York, Democracy Now! Produced with Renee Feltz, Mike Berkdine, Augusta Messiah, Rhodes, Maria Tarasena, Tammy Warner, Trina Nadura, Sam Alcoff, Tamaria Studio, John Hamilton, Robbie Karen, Mary Conlon. Special thanks to Julie Crosby. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermin Sheikh.
Are you a fan of early rock and roll, doo-wop, rhythm and blues, and 70s rock? If so, The Roots of Rock and Roll is the show for you, and KBOO Portland is the place to be Friday afternoons at 3. Dale Farr will give you a history lesson from the birth of rock and roll through the 50s and 60s, and Ray Bodwell will mine the 60s and 70s for the deep cuts, hidden gems, and variety that you won't hear on generic classic rock stations. So tune in to The Roots of Rock and Roll, Fridays at 3 p.m. on KBOO Portland, your community radio station. This is KBOO Portland, time for your 5 o'clock news.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on KBOO Evening News, the U.S. sees another mass shooting, this one in Virginia.
The Biden administration extends the hold on student loan repayments.
And in international news, the far-right Brazilian president officially contests his election loss.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, November 23rd, 2022. I'm Josh Salem.
And I'm Emma Lugo. Six are dead and more injured after a mass shooting at a Walmart in Virginia. Tuesday night in Chesapeake, Virginia, a Walmart manager opened fire on employees in a break room, killing six, then himself, and injuring others. This comes after Saturday night's mass shooting at Club Q in Colorado Springs, with five killed and 25 injured. There have been mass shootings in the U.S. each of the seven past days, including four killed Sunday at a marijuana farm in Oklahoma, and a mother and her three children shot dead in Richmond, Virginia on Friday. Mass shootings are defined as when four or more people are killed or injured with a gun. Adding in mass shootings in Illinois, Mississippi, and Texas brings a seven-day total of 22 killed and 44 injured. This makes 606 mass shootings in America this year so far. 2021's total was 690 by the end of the year.
LGBTQ plus folks and their advocates say attacks like the mass shooting at a Colorado nightclub this week make it hard for people in their community to be open about their gender identity or sexual orientation. A South Dakota group says educating policymakers is a priority in trying to eliminate hateful rhetoric and associated violence. Mike Moen has more.
The LGBTQ community continues to mourn those killed at a shooting at a Colorado nightclub over the weekend. In South Dakota, advocates say these attacks make members feel unsafe at a time when they're trying to have a stronger voice. Investigators are still looking into the attack at the LGBTQ venue, but it did happen on the eve of the Transgender Day of Remembrance, and many dignitaries were quick to condemn violence linked with hateful rhetoric. Jack Fonder of the Transformation Project says a South Dakota gathering for the Day of Remembrance included a tribute to those killed. He says community members are faced with a difficult reality right now.
It's a thin line, right? Like, we do need to stand up. We need to be strong. We need to be seen. We need to be visible. But it's scary. Not everybody is okay being out, because that does, in essence, put a target on your back.
Bonder says he's convinced recent attacks and threats of violence are fueled by conservative politicians and special interest groups pushing anti-LGBTQ laws. Supporters of those policies cite motivations such as religious freedom, and South Dakota has seen several bills considered or adopted. Fonder says his group is trying to educate these lawmakers about the need to protect and support the community. Fonder acknowledges that many lawmakers in question haven't shown a willingness to engage with advocates, but he says through protests and testimony at the state capitol, there is a coalition that won't back down, even in a difficult environment.
We're trying to do as much as we can to be visible with as many folks that are comfortable doing so.
Saturday's shooting in Colorado Springs left at least 5 people dead and more than 24 others injured. 6 years ago, nearly 50 people were killed in a shooting at a Florida nightclub, making that the deadliest attack on the LGBTQ community in U.S. history. Mike Moen, Greater Dakota News Service.
An appeals court is hearing arguments over the special master reviewing documents seized from Mar-a-Lago. With that story and more from the national political landscape, it's Edwin J. Vieira with 2022 Talks.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
The last question was one posed that makes clear that basically, other than the fact that this involves a former president, everything else about this is indistinguishable from any pre-indictment search warrant.
The 11th Circuit of the U.S. Court of Appeals heard oral arguments Tuesday about the special master appointed to review classified documents seized at former President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate. Trump called the move a witch hunt from an egregiously corrupt Biden administration and their weaponized Department of Justice. Biden administration press secretary Karine Jean-Pierre reiterated Attorney General Merrick Garland is operating independently. Following the midterms, Republicans are wondering about their future after Trump-backed candidates fared poorly. Chris Sununu, Republican governor of New Hampshire, feels he has a winning strategy for the GOP.
I got a great policy for the Republican Party. Let's stop supporting crazy, unelectable candidates in our primaries and start getting behind winners that can close the deal in November.
A poll by AARP found New Hampshire voters were ticket-splitting in the election, in which Sununu was re-elected, but so was Democratic U.S. Senator Maggie Hassan. With Thanksgiving one day away, Dr. Anthony Fauci urged people to get their updated COVID-19 booster shots as soon as possible. In what could be his final appearance as director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, Fauci reflected on his time in the position.
I would like people to remember about what I've done is that every day for all of those years, I've given it everything that I have, and I've never left anything on the field.
House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy is calling for the resignation of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. McCarthy said under Mayorkas's leadership, fentanyl flowed freely into the U.S. from Mexico, and he criticized high rates of suicide among Border Patrol agents.
If Secretary Mayorkas does not resign, House Republicans will investigate every order, every action, and every failure will determine whether we can begin impeachment inquiry.
This comes as McCarthy and House Republicans plan to use their slim majority to their advantage. McCarthy has called for the removal of several Democratic representatives from committees to begin investigations into the Biden administration and the First Family. A Politico Morningstar poll finds only 28% of surveyed voters want Congress to focus on a presidential impeachment inquiry or Hunter Biden's business dealings. Instead, those surveyed want Congress to focus on fentanyl trafficking into the U.S., operations at the U.S.-Mexico border, and the 2022 infant formula shortage. I'm Edwin J. Vieira for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
The pause on student loan repayment has again been extended by the Biden administration. Bills and interest had been scheduled to resume in January. This pause, the 8th one since March of 2020, is related to the legal challenges to Biden's student debt forgiveness plan. Biden plans to wipe out between $10,000 and $20,000 in debt for student borrowers who made less than $120,000 in 2020 and 2021. Already, millions have applied and been accepted for relief. But Republicans and conservative groups have attacked the policy in court. The newest pause would extend until June of 2023 to allow the Supreme Court to hear the case this term. Here's what President Biden said in a statement.
As Americans continue to recover from the pandemic, my administration has been working to provide student debt relief to millions of working and middle-class families across the country. But Republican special interests and elected officials sued to deny this relief, even for their own constituents. But I'm completely confident my plan is legal. But right now, it's on hold because of these lawsuits. We're not going to back down, though, in our fight to give families breathing room. That's why the Department of Justice is asking the Supreme Court of the United States to rule on the case. But it isn't fair to ask tens of millions of borrowers eligible for relief to resume their student debt payments while the courts consider the lawsuit. For that reason, the Secretary of Education is extending the pause on student loan payments while we seek relief from the courts, but no later than June 30, 2023.
That was President Joe Biden speaking about the legal challenges to his student loan debt forgiveness plan and the latest pause on student loan payments.
Two Fred Meyer employees are suing the grocery chain for $5 million in a class action lawsuit on behalf of employees who aren't getting paid. Fred Meyer instituted a new payroll system in September, and ever since, workers have had problems with their paychecks. The new system allegedly incorrectly recorded wages and hours, delayed payments, or paid out the wrong amount. Some even missed multiple weeks of pay. Fred Meyer acknowledged the issue in a statement, saying, quote, "We have experienced a technical error in paycheck distribution. Although a small percentage of our associates have been affected, we understand the impact," end quote. The class action lawsuit says the company has violated Oregon wage laws. The plaintiffs are one former and one current Fred Meyer employee who worked in Portland and Medford. The lawsuit hopes to win all wages owed to the workers, attorney's fees, and incurred damages from the payroll errors. At least 20 current and former employees have filed wage complaints and claims against Fred Meyer with the Oregon Bureau of Labor and Industries since October 1st. That's according to records obtained by the Oregonian.
A new video series explores the importance of Oregon's rivers for communities of color. It also urges Congress to protect more of the state's waterways by passing the River Democracy Act. Eric Tegetoff has more on the story.
Oregon is home to a plethora of rivers, but those waterways aren't always accessible to every community. A new video series highlights how important these places are for Black, Indigenous, and people of color, and how a bill now in Congress could protect more of these landscapes. The organization Love is King released the videos, which feature diverse voices talking about the personal significance of rivers to them. That includes Dr. Lisa Collins, an assistant professor at Lewis and Clark College, who thinks protecting rivers in Oregon is critical.
Being able to have water sources that we can go to, be in, be near is vital to not only our personal livelihood, but our community well-being.
Collins says the River Democracy Act, introduced by Oregon Senators Ron Wyden and Jeff Merkley, is a key piece of legislation. The bill would protect more than 4,000 miles of waterway in the state, and the rivers were selected by Oregonians. Brian Chow is an outdoor industry consultant in Portland and was also part of the video series. He loves fishing Oregon's rivers with his daughter and says it isn't just about catching a fish. In the stillness of the river, he's also fishing for perspective.
It's a priceless resource. I find that people of all walks, regardless of what story that you're in, what chapter you're in your life, anybody can come to a river, and the river has no judgment. It is a place of purity and peace.
Jocelyn Rice is paddleboarding the Tualatin River in the video series From Love is King. Rice, who is a designer and the founder of Black Earth United in Portland, says she enjoys the solace of rivers.
It's a nice escape, even within the city, which is something I also love about living here and was happy to showcase, is that we have places that you can take a bus to or you could drive, but you can access our waterways within city limits, and that's something that's such a gift.
Support for this reporting was provided by the Pew Charitable Trust. For Oregon News Service, I'm Eric Tegedoff.
Outside Detroit, environmental groups and local activists have filed a motion to intervene in a federal EPA lawsuit against DTE Energy subsidiaries EES Coke. The suit alleges that the company has illegally emitted thousands of tons of harmful pollutants in a low-income community of color near Detroit. Mark Richardson reports on the lawsuit.
Members of a Detroit area community are intervening in an Environmental Protection Agency lawsuit against a DTE Energy subsidiary charged with dumping harmful pollutants into their community. Residents of River Rouge want the court to stop EES Coke from emitting sulfur dioxide and other toxic substances from its plant and compensate local residents for the harm it's caused. Teresa Landrum, a River Rouge resident and community organizer, says EES Coke has profited for decades off making people sick.
We have suffered egregiously from the emissions from surrounding factories. Our community is overburdened with asthma, cancer, diabetes, heart disease. Anything that's connected to health issues can be traced back to industries in my community.
The motion was filed by the Sierra Club and joined by Earth Justice and the Great Lakes Environmental Law Center. When the original suit was filed in June, DTE Energy responded, claiming ESS Coke complies with all relevant regulations governing its operations. Landrum says the community has seen anti-pollution lawsuits before, but the victims are usually left out of the settlement.
When industries have been fined for a violation, they either get to have a consent agreement or negotiate the fine down. And when the fine is negotiated, it is split between the regulatory agencies like EGLE and EPA. Nothing comes back to the community.
EGLE is the Department of Environment, Great Lakes, and Energy. Landrum says it's frustrating that even when the polluters are caught and prosecuted, they often let them off with a slap on the wrist.
They need to take charge and use the power that they have to be more protective of human life. They have the power. What are they using with it? They're siding with business many, many times. We need that loophole stopped, and we need to look at who's being impacted by the egregious acts of these companies.
The EPA wants the court to force the plant to bring its emissions within legal limits, offset the health and environmental harm it's caused, and pay fines for each day it's out of compliance. For Michigan News Connection, I'm Mark Richardson.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. Stay tuned after this newscast for an in-depth interview with Kay Rambo, the editor-in-chief of Street Roots. We'll be discussing their article, diving into Senator Ron Wyden's DASH Act to address housing and homelessness. Then we take a look at the efforts to add a Portland transparency advocate to City Hall through the second State of the Charter amendment process. At 6, it's Rising Up with Sonali. Then at 7, Exploration with Michio Kaku. Tonight's weather will be mostly cloudy, with an overnight low of 39 degrees. Tomorrow we'll see some sun amongst the clouds, with a daytime high of 56. Today in history, in 1921, President Warren Harding signed the Willis-Campbell Act into law, prohibiting doctors from prescribing beer for medicinal purposes. This was, of course, during Prohibition, but the law specified that wine and spirits could still be medically prescribed and purchased at a pharmacy. It was commonly known as the Beer Emergency Bill. The quote of the day is from American vaudeville performer Will Rogers, who said, "Why don't they pass a constitutional amendment prohibiting anybody from learning anything? If it works as well as Prohibition did, in 5 years, Americans would be the smartest people on earth."
Far-right Brazilian president Jair Bolsonaro officially contested his election loss to leftist challenger Luiz Inácio, or Luiz da Silva, citing a software bug in the country's electronic voting machine. Independent experts say that Bug had no effect on the contest's outcome. Former President Silva won last month's runoff election by more than 2 million votes, and the results have been validated by Brazil's Superior Electoral Court, also known as TSE. TSE President Alexandre de Moraes said that, quote, the electronic voting machines were used in both the first and second round of the 2022 elections. In the days following the October 30th runoff, truck drivers and other Bolsonaro supporters held demonstrations around the country, and some observers worry that this could happen again.
A program in Arizona gives Native entrepreneurs access to free MBA classes. With that story and more, it's Antonia Gonzalez with National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Native women in Arizona are getting help to launch their own businesses with expert advice. As Alex Gonzalez reports, a unique program helps bring their business ideas to life, and a new cohort just got started.
Project Dreamcatcher is a unique free initiative for Native American women entrepreneurs. In the intensive one-week program, they're exposed to MBA-level business classes at ASU's Thunderbird School of Global Management. Last month, 21 women graduated from the program. Sherilyn Van Winkle, a graduate and co-founder of Arizona Native Mobile Diesel Truck and Trailer Repair, says the program has been instrumental for her in a predominantly male-run field.
I feel like this program just really helped me push my fears aside. I mean, I wasn't fearful before, but it was just more I was sitting back and letting the world take me over. But now I feel like I'm finally in control.
Participants have access to graduate-level courses, coaching and advising sessions with business professionals, and networking activities designed to foster confidence in starting or growing a business. According to project leaders, the last cohort graduated 67 women who have started 30 businesses in Arizona. Van Winkle previously worked in the medical field and says she didn't know much about what it took to run a mechanic business, but she's taken her skills and experience and used them in new ways in her new company. She says one of the most overwhelming parts of the journey was knowing where to begin, but Dreamcatcher helps participants devise a plan.
They had a professor come in and talk to us about how to understand revenues, expenses, gross profits, balance sheet, cash flow, and owner's equity. Those are large words for some of us that didn't go to business school.
Van Winkle says having a support system as a new business is fundamental. She encourages the next women who enroll in Project Dreamcatcher to be open-minded, ask questions, and use the resources available to them. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, American Indian and Alaska Native-owned businesses contributed over $39 billion to the economy last year, but make up only 1% of all firms.
That was Alex Gonzalez reporting. Longtime Tribal University President Lionel Bordeaux has passed away. The enrolled member of the Rosebud Sioux Tribe served as president of Sinti Gleska University for 50 years, said to be the longest-serving university president in the United States. The university is located on the Rosebud Reservation in South Dakota. Bordeaux was well-known as a strong advocate in the tribal college movement. His career also included working for the Bureau of Indian Affairs. His experience in Washington, D.C. was instrumental in helping him pursue passage of legislation to support tribal colleges and universities. Bordeaux was passionate about culturally based Native higher education and service to the Native community. He was a founder of the American Indian Higher Education Consortium, which represents the 35 tribal colleges and universities across the country. And he was a founder of the American Indian College Fund, the World Indigenous Nations Higher Education Consortium, and the Tribal College Journal. He passed away at age 82. A celebration of life is planned for December 1st at the Tribal University. The Phoenix Suns honored the Native American Basketball Invitational, or NABI, Tuesday night during a game in Phoenix, Arizona. They celebrated a 20-year partnership between the organization and the professional basketball team. NABI hosts the largest all-Indigenous basketball tournament in North America, with more than 100 teams taking part in games each summer. NABI's event generates a local economic impact to the Phoenix area and has awarded thousands of dollars in scholarships to Native college students. The organization was involved in the Suns' new uniforms celebrating Native culture and the showcasing of Arizona's 22 tribal nations at the arena. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
One challenge for survivors of domestic violence who try to leave an abusive partner is breaking away from a family cell phone plan. It can be hard to do, but staying on the plan can pose even more safety threats. A bill in Congress was recently approved to address this issue, and advocates for domestic violence survivors have applauded the action. Mike Moen reports from North Dakota.
A bill headed to President Joe Biden's desk addresses a longstanding problem for domestic violence survivors, ending their ties to their abuser's cell phone plans. A North Dakota coalition predicts the changes will be helpful. The Safe Connections Act recently cleared its final congressional hurdle. It removes financial penalties for survivors who are trying to separate their phone lines and their dependence lines from an abuser. Dana Meese with the North Dakota Council on Abused Women Services says unresolved phone plans can be a major obstacle for someone trying to move on from an abusive situation.
They do give abusers access to call logs, text messages, voicemails, or family tracking features that can be used to monitor, stalk, and harass survivors.
She adds survivors are forced to pay a lot of money in termination fees, often making it difficult to transition to a safer environment. The bill had bipartisan support, but other advocates say they would have preferred policymakers not include a provision that requires the survivor to provide documentation they were abused, arguing it adds to their trauma. A separate aspect of the bill calls on the SEC to create rules that require cell phone providers to expunge any calls or texts to hotlines, such as those operated by crisis centers. Mee says that's another important tool.
If they're calling a crisis line, and that shows up in their call log, that can tip an abuser off that they're thinking of leaving, and it can put them in a more dangerous situation.
As for financial barriers, the bill expands eligibility for the SEC's Lifeline program, which provides monthly cell phone plan subsidies. Collectively, Mee says these actions should help survivors move forward with their lives without having to change a number or get another phone. It's expected that President Biden will sign the measure. Mike Moen, Prairie News Service.
A program in Wisconsin aims to boost diversity in the clean energy economy. And participants in a recent pilot project learned about ways to build their businesses. Dr. Anthony Leisowitz has more on those stories with Climate Connections.
I'm Dr. Anthony Leisowitz, and this is Climate Connections. The clean energy and green building industries are growing rapidly. And Balthazar de Anda Santana of the Latino Academy of Workforce Development in Madison, Wisconsin, wants to make sure people of color share in the benefits.
I want to see Latinos, I want to see African Americans doing solar installation. I want to see them out there making the money that is going to help them not just support their families, but for them to be able to have options, to have opportunities.
So to equip people with the knowledge they need to break into the industry, his group helped lead a pilot program for minority contractors. The 11 participants learned about ways to build or expand their businesses, such as getting into solar installation or home weatherization. Industry leaders and city representatives shared insights about business development and bidding for municipal contracts. And participants had the opportunity to network and exchange ideas.
That's one of the things that they appreciated the most, the fact that they could talk to other business owners, that they could learn from other business owners.
So the program helped local contractors lay foundations to participate in the clean energy economy. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To hear more stories like this, visit climateconnections.org.
KBOO News poet Dan Raphael says no thanks to the World Cup.
The World Cup runneth over with death, corruption, and tyranny. Over 6,000 migrant workers have died in Qatar since construction began for the tournament. Those still alive and working get meager pay, squalid housing, and cruel treatment while they pray to get their passports back. Qatar spent millions on FIFA administrators to get the World Cup and not have it in summer as usual when it's over 120. No rainbow shirts, headbands, armbands in Qatar, almost no rain, a lot of other no's for almost everyone. I'm glad Budweiser got burned of the millions they paid to be the official beer they're not allowed to sell at the matches. Qatar also spent big on recruiting and developing their team, which lost the tournament's first game to Ecuador. The Iranian soccer team didn't sing along with their national anthem. Where will they go next? The USA couldn't beat Wales. Saudi Arabia upset favored Argentina, and a national holiday was declared. That's one country that understands the true meaning of sports, like golf. For Poetic Justice, this is Dan Raphael.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, November 23rd, 2022. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call or text us with your breaking news, stories, and tips at 971-245-2158. Our remote production team for tonight's newscast includes Dan Raphael. The producer is Althea Billings, and our engineer is Ray Bodwell. Special thanks to Eric Tegetoff, Edwin J. Vieira, Mike Moen, Mark Richardson, Antonia Gonzalez, and Dr. Anthony Lizowitz. The director of the Evening News is Althea Billings. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Josh Salem.
And I'm Emma Lugo. All of our KBOO programs, including the Evening News, are supported by our members. If you would like to become a member and support our programming, you can go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. Stay tuned now for KBOO News in Depth.
KBOO News in Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.